So good to see everybody here this morning. I hope you've come prepared today to hear from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you've come with expectant hearts to hear what God has to say to us. We live in a day and time when truth is under attack. We can see that pretty clearly if you just turn on the TV. Because we're in that time of year where between, in the TV timeouts for commercials, all we get is political ads, right? Truth is under attack. I know this is going to be a funny joke, so just bear with me, right? How do you know if a politician is lying? God, his lips are moving, right? Truth, I know that's not really what I'm going to focus on, right? But truth itself is under attack in our day. The culture around us questions absolute truth. In fact, they will say there is no absolute truth. People will often say, well, that's your truth and not my truth. Anybody ever heard that before? This shouldn't surprise us, though, because really it's been Satan's MO since the beginning. In fact, the first words that Satan speaks in the scripture in Genesis chapter 3 is a question. Did God actually say? Questioning the validity of the truth of God's word. Did he really say not to eat from the tree? Jesus calls Satan in John 8, the father of lies. He is a liar, is what Jesus says. In fact, in verse 44, it goes on to say that he does not stand in the truth. So it shouldn't surprise us that truth is under attack. Just like Eve, we've believed some of those lies ourselves. And whether we realize it or not, they've shaped what we do, they shape what we think. And because the father of lies has infiltrated who we are as people, an identity crisis looms large in people's lives. Because we have based our identity on really what is nothing but a lie. Would you like to know the truth of who you really are? Do you want to know that your identity can be built on something that has a sure foundation? Well, that's what this series of messages is all about. We're going to ask the question, and God is going to answer us through His Word. Because many people, maybe even including yourself, are facing an identity crisis. So here's the question for today. Who are you? Who are you? Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And we come across an interesting event in the ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And there it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put it out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray together. God, we ask, Lord, that you would come and that you would speak to our hearts today. God, that you would help us answer the question, who are you? God, help us understand who we are in you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So here's the story. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, and he sees two boats. The crowd is pressing in upon him. And it's interesting because they are pressing in on him because they wanted to hear the word of God. So he goes to the boats and he asks them to take him out in the lake a little way so that he can continue teaching from the boat. So Simon takes his boat and takes Jesus and pushes off from the shoreline. And there he is teaching the people the word of God. And when he's finished teaching, he asks Simon to put out a little further and cast his nets for a catch. Now, this probably startles Simon Peter just a little bit because Simon Peter is a fisherman by trade, a professional, if you will, and he knows that this is not the way to catch fish. This is not how you do it. But nonetheless, he had heard Jesus teaching, and he responded to Jesus in this way, "Okay, if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And he obeyed. They let down the nets, and you read along with me. They caught such a great number of fish that their nets were breaking. They had to call for help, and when help got there, they were still catching so many fish in the nets that their boats were actually sinking from the weight of the catch. That's unbelievable, right? I mean, here are these professional fishermen who had toiled all night long. They had worked hard, is what Peter said. We had worked hard all night long. There's nothing left to catch out there, right? But yet, upon Jesus' command, their boats were filled till they were almost sinking. And Peter's response is simply this. He falls down at the knees of Jesus, and he says, "I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man." It's almost as Peter realized through this episode of who he really was before God and before Jesus, who was sitting there. He was a sinful man. Well, Jesus responds to them by telling them not to be afraid, but from now on you will be catching men. That too had to be an interesting phrase for them to hear. What do you mean we're going to be catching men? But nevertheless, when they had got back to the shore, the scripture says that they left everything. Now, could you imagine that? Here they had probably just received the largest catch of fish that they had ever got, right? I mean, their boats so full that they're sinking. And when they get back to the shore with their boats, they leave it all. And they follow Jesus. But something had to change in their hearts. Something had to change in their life that they would leave behind their profession, leave behind their boats and their gear and their fish and everything else and follow Jesus. Maybe they realized the answer to the question of who they really were. The first thing I want to point out this morning is simply this. Jesus has the power to change who we are. He has the power to change who we are. Notice here that it's talking about him teaching, and Peter and the others were listening to him teach. Jesus appearing in the world, the scripture says that when he appeared, it's described as being full of grace and truth. So when Jesus spoke, he spoke truth. Because he is, as he said in John 14, the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't it interesting in John chapter 18, as he's standing before Pilate, the reason that he gives Pilate that he came into the world is simply this. He came to testify to the truth. The truth of the matter is this. Jesus has the power to change who you are. He went on to tell Pilate in John 18 that everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It's interesting that as Jesus tells Pilate this, Pilate responds with three words. What is truth? What is truth? And maybe that might be the question that you're struggling with in this moment. What is truth? Well, the truth is simply this, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Because Jesus is the truth, his teachings are true, and they are full of grace, mercy, and they are full of life. In fact, he came to give us life, and life abundantly. I can imagine Peter listening closely as Jesus taught from the boat. He heard what Jesus was saying, and when Jesus spoke to him, he obeyed. You know, hearing in those days was accompanied with obedience. In other words, if you heard a message, the response was obedience. And if you didn't obey, then you really didn't hear. Maybe that's the problem with the church today. Maybe we've heard the message so long that we forget that we have to be obedient to what God says. If we're not obedient to God's commands, if we're not obedient to what he wants in our life, if we're not obedient to follow him, then maybe we really haven't heard what he's told to us. Maybe we really haven't understood what the scripture is all about. So here, Peter obeys him by putting out the boat so he could teach. Later, he obeys him by dropping the nets. And later, he finally obeys him by leaving everything to follow Jesus. Jesus has the power to change who you are. Secondly, just because who you are today isn't wrong, doesn't make it right. Just because who you are today isn't wrong, doesn't make it right. Notice what Simon Peter responds to Jesus here in verses 4 through 7. He said, "Master," in verse 5, "we toiled all night and took nothing." Here is Simon Peter, James, and John. They're all professional fishermen. I mean, I don't know how we compare that to today. I don't know if they're fishing off the coast of Alaska, if you've seen those shows or not. I don't know if they're like in the Bassmaster Classic. I don't know exactly what kind of professional fishermen they would be today. But I do know this. It was a good profession in that day to be a fisherman. And they were good at it. And here, Peter says, look, we're pretty good at what we do. And we worked hard all night long, and we didn't take a thing. So when Jesus says, put out into the deep and drop your nets, I'm sure Peter must be thinking, I don't think that's going to work. It goes against any and everything that we've ever experienced fishing. It's just not going to happen. Now, he didn't tell Jesus that, right? But I'm sure it probably crossed his mind. I mean, who is Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, who's this great and mighty teacher, now going to tell us how to fish? That's funny, right? But don't we do the same exact thing? Jesus, why are you trying to tell me how to live my life? Jesus, you don't know what goes on in my life. Or how about this? Jesus, why are you trying to tell us how to do church? We know how to do church. We're professional at doing church, right? Peter obeys. But notice what he says. He says in verse 5, he says, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." It wasn't that Peter needed to understand everything that Jesus was trying to tell him. It was only this, that he knew Jesus spoke and that Jesus spoke the truth and that he was going to obey. What we need to remember is that what you do in life is not who you are. It's not who you are. When we find our identity in anything other than following Jesus, we are not who God created us to be. And because of that, change needs to happen in our life. Verse 10 says, from now on, right? That's what Jesus tells them. From now on. In other words, what you used to be is no longer. From now on, you're going to be this. A change occurs in their life. Can I ask you a question this morning? What have you allowed to define your life? Peter would define his life as being a fisherman. But that's not what God had created him to be. And just because it wasn't wrong to be a fisherman doesn't mean it was right. It doesn't mean that's what God was creating for Peter or created him to be. So just because who you are today isn't wrong doesn't make it right. The last thing I want to point out this morning is this. A true identity in Christ is found in obedience to Him. A true identity in Christ is found in obedience to Him. Notice what verse 11 said. It said they left everything and followed Him. Peter's response to Jesus was obedience. And here's what we need to remember about obedience. I think sometimes we forget about this. We need to remember that we don't need to fully understand to obey. Peter didn't fully understand what Jesus was calling him to be. What is this catching for men, right? You're going to be catching men? What does that even mean, Jesus? He didn't fully understand what that would be in his life. He may have thought that it wasn't going to work, but he took Jesus at his word and followed him. So we do the same thing sometimes, right? We got to know every single detail before we're going to say yes. So sometimes Jesus calls us to be obedient even when we don't fully understand everything that it involves. And that's okay, right? Now, I know some of you detail-oriented people, right? You say, no way, right? I've got to know every single thing that's going to happen. If you knew every single thing that was going to happen, can I ask you a question? Would you be following by faith? You see, obedience requires faith. And sometimes faith, well, we don't fully understand, right? We don't fully understand what's going to take place. When we think about what God is going to do in this place in the days to come, we can't fully understand or know what's going to happen. But we have to be obedient to follow after Christ, to go where He is leading. We don't need to fully understand. We need to fully follow. Secondly, Peter was willing to follow no matter the cost. He left everything to follow Jesus. Everything. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Everything. We also need to be willing to follow no matter the cost. No matter the cost. Sometimes I think that's one of our greatest stumbling blocks to being obedient to Christ. Whether it's fear of what we might lose, whether it's just whether you just don't want to give up something for Jesus. It keeps us from following Him. If we are going to say, yes, Lord, I surrender to You, guess what? Surrender means everything. It's not just part of you, it's all of you. And if we're going to truly be obedient to Christ, then we have to be willing to follow Him no matter the cost. Jesus Himself said that we'd have to be willing to leave our family, right? To leave our friends. We have to be willing to give it all up and follow after Him. One thing we have to remember in that is knowing this, that when we follow Christ, we're exactly where God wants us to be, doing exactly what God created us to do, and there is a heavenly reward for those who are faithfully obedient to Christ. Sure, we might have to give up something in life, but what is that compared to heaven? What is that compared to knowing that you're faithful to Christ? What is that compared to knowing Christ in His fullness? Church, if we have to give up something to follow after Jesus, what is that in the grand scheme of things to see men and women, boys and girls come to faith in Christ? We have to be willing to follow no matter the cost. A true identity in Christ is found in obedience to Him. Peter could not have known what it would mean to him that day. He had no idea what Jesus was going to do with him. It comes a little more clear to us, though, in Acts chapter 2. Peter followed Jesus. He sat at His feet. He heard Jesus pray. He saw Jesus do miracles. Peter saw Jesus die. But he also encountered the risen Savior. He saw him ascend into heaven. And when you fast forward to Acts chapter 2, maybe Peter realized then exactly what Jesus had called him to be. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches his first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And in verse 40 of chapter 2, it says, "And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourself from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." Talk about a catch. Here you see what Jesus was talking about. You think a boat full of fish is an impressive catch for a fisherman? How about casting the net of the gospel and seeing 3,000 people come to faith in Christ? He was fishing for men. He saw with his own eyes what Jesus had called him to be and created him to be, what his true identity was. All of it makes sense. He was now a fisher of men. So let me ask you this. Does your identity match who Jesus is calling you to be? There is a great truth, one that we should never give up, and that is this: that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you on the cross, to take the weight and the penalty of your sin so that you could find forgiveness through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And if you place your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you there, the scripture says that you will be saved, that you will become a child of God. That is a non-negotiable truth. And it is true yesterday, it's true today, it'll be true to the day we walk into the gates of heaven. God loves you, Jesus died for you, and Jesus can change who you are. Remember that your identity will be tied to whatever you give your heart to. So what have you given your heart to? Have you given it to Jesus? Or have you given it to your job? Your hobbies? Your family? What have you given your heart to? My prayer is that you've given it to Jesus. So when you're asked, "Who are you?" what will you say?